Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we ask you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word and initiate healing and transformation and continue that healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, last week was Father's Day, and since every other day is Children's Day, except, of course, for Mother's Day, it was a special day for me, and I pray that it was also a special day for all of the followers that are here and that are watching online. For me, John meticulously mowed the yard for me. Ginny meticulously detailed my car. Abby bought me ice cream. Kim made all of my favorite foods. It was a great day. And as we begin our time in God's Word, turning to that, if you have a digital Bible, I know we don't have Bibles in the pews, but if you're at home, I encourage you to grab a Bible. Otherwise, you can just listen along. We're going to look at the context of our reading. So we're going to go beyond the scriptures that are printed in the leaflet. So we're on Matthew chapter 10, if you want to follow along in a device or in a Bible. But before we get that, I want you to know where I'm going to be going this morning. I plan to touch on three themes. We're going to touch on persecution as we look at the background for our reading today. Then we're going to talk about acknowledgement and then division. Now, I'm not sure how many of you noticed, but last week, as I said, was Father's Day. But there was a very non-Father's Day theme in the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 10. Not sure how many of you may have noticed that, but the context was persecution, and Jesus was speaking to the disciples about the impending persecution that they would suffer, that they would encounter, and Jesus said in verse 16, he said, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And then Jesus, in the next few verses, detailed what that persecution would look like, leading to verse 21. So remember, we read this on Father's Day. "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them be put to death." Not exactly a Father's Day scripture, right? But it's not a surprising message either, because we've all experienced divisions and drama within our families at one time or another, or over one thing or another. But Jesus is talking about the persecution that will come. And he makes it clear that even within families, his followers will experience the same persecution that he was suffering and that he would suffer for them. In verse 22, Jesus said, "You will all be hated because of me, for my name's sake." So Jesus proclaims to all who would follow him, or to all who would be his disciples, and it's important for us to remember this. Jesus said, "Be aware. Living as my disciple, living as a witness for the gospel, will lead to unavoidable suffering and persecution." We have to keep that in mind as we follow him. Now, of course, that caution was delivered with a promise. Jesus didn't deliver that caution without giving them hope and giving us hope. The disciples in you and me can be comforted in that Jesus will have preceded us in the experience of persecution. He experiences and experienced everything that we will. And in turn, Jesus can and Jesus will sustain us as we endure persecution. Jesus said in verse 26, "Have no fear of them." Now, who's the them? Them, those that will persecute you, the wolves. Have no fear of them. And then in verse 31, he said again, "Fear not." Do not be afraid, because as we maintain faith in Jesus and relationship with him, we may experience fear, but we don't have to be controlled or engulfed by the fear that we feel. We are able to avoid living in fear and set those fears aside because Jesus is near. He promises to be with us. His Holy Spirit is in us. just as Jesus promised. So there's hope. And with that review completed of the persecution Jesus is talking to, we come to today's reading, where we begin at verse 32. So if you have your service leaflets, you can follow along. Jesus continued, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So in the midst of Jesus' teaching, acknowledgement is key, and that's our second theme. Acknowledging Jesus is so important. And where are we to acknowledge Jesus? Just in the church? No. Jesus says before men, before the culture, before all those around us. The Greek word translated acknowledging literally means to confess or to profess or to declare openly, to speak out freely. So we are to acknowledge Jesus in all things, but acknowledging comes with a price. It will lead to persecution when we acknowledge our faith in Jesus Christ. And in last week's reading and in this week's reading, Jesus reminds us persecution will even come from within your own family. So this morning, we read verse 35 and 36. "For I have come," Jesus said, "to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of their own household." Family members will be separated, not just because Jesus wants to cause turmoil, but they're separated because of either faith or no faith, their belief in Jesus. Family members will be separated by reason of their response to Jesus, either to receive him or to reject him. Now, you have to also recall that Jesus' own family rejected him. They spoke against him until they came to understand that he was who he said he was, God the Son and the Messiah, and then they had faith in him. And that rejection and that persecution turned to a joining together in mission. Jesus, though, is the dividing line, and he affirms that clearly starting at verse 37, where Jesus continued, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." There he's saying, whoever puts any other relationship ahead or priority over acknowledging me, Jesus, they don't have faith. Or they're avoiding their faith, or they're quieting their faith because they're not putting Jesus first. They're trying to avoid the persecution. Verse 38, "Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus is the dividing line. Faith in Jesus leads to eternal life. And at the same time, it will lead to persecution, antagonism, accusation, potential rejection, and even hatred, even within your own family. And no one likes to be antagonized or rejected or ridiculed or hated. In the face of persecution, you all will be tempted to hide your faith or to quiet your faith or not to acknowledge so as not to be singled out. And I'm not immune from that. Fear of persecution, fear of rejection is a key reason why many fail to acknowledge Jesus or are quiet rather than living their faith out loud. I said I'm not immune. I've got a neighbor who introduced herself to me as, "I'm a Buddhist. I know you're a pastor. But I work at a food bank and we have extra food. Do you have families that can help out?" So regularly, especially during this crisis, she'll call me. "I've got extra food from the food bank. Can we distribute it?" So if you all know of families that need food, I'm pretty regularly getting food from my neighbor. But this past week as she dropped off the food, it was right before dinner. It was after a long day. She said, "I'm so glad you and I can spread karma together." Now, in my head, I went, I'm not spreading karma. This is about loving my neighbor. This is about loving as Jesus told me to love. And then I thought, do I want to get into this right now? I'm exhausted. So I just let the comment go. And it's been circling in my head. It was easier to not get into a conflict or not to push the envelope or not to say, this isn't about karma. Karma is... But I let it pass. I know now I want to be more prepared next time, but why? Because I didn't want the conflict. I had all these excuses lined up. Still do. We need to be ready. Jesus challenges his followers to acknowledge in all things. And that's why Jesus so firmly declared in verse 32 the importance of acknowledging Jesus. True faith will be lived out loud as we acknowledge him in all that we do and say. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the passage from Deuteronomy where we're to acknowledge Jesus as we sit down, as we walk around, as we lie down, as we get up, in all things. In Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he acknowledged acknowledgement. He addressed acknowledgement in this way. Romans 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth, many of you know this verse, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, that's the same word translated acknowledge in Matthew's gospel. Same word. If you acknowledge with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Both believing and proclaiming, acknowledging are important. So I want you to consider today in your own life, in your own faith, in your own witness. First, do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord? That Jesus is God the Son, whom the Father raised from the dead. If you don't, I hope that this sermon, these scriptures, leave you unsettled with the thought that Jesus might not acknowledge you before the Father. If you do believe that Jesus is Lord, does your faith lead to a life that's changed, that's daily being transformed by His Holy Spirit, by His living Word? And is your faith visible to anyone else through how you live, through how you love your neighbor? Does your faith in Jesus lead you to acknowledge him before others? Do you confess with your mouth? Do you declare your faith openly and speak out freely? This is the challenge today. It's the challenge every day for those who follow Jesus. Jesus was clear, acknowledge me, and I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, if you fail to acknowledge me, you may be in trouble. You may be on unstable ground. Church, today the challenge is clear. Believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead, and then go forward. Acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he is alive. That's our challenge today. And that's where I could end the sermon. But as I prepared, there was something else that left me unsettled as I reflected on these scriptures. We talked about persecution. We talked about acknowledgement. Now we turn to division. Jesus refers to the persecution, the attack, the maligning, the rejection of his followers by them in verse 26. Now, while Jesus isn't specific about who they or them are, the context clearly declares who they are not. We know them to be the wolves, those who are persecuting. But they therefore aren't also sheep. They're enemies of the gospel. They're outsiders. They're not being attacked by other sheep. I'm guessing that you're all aware of how contentious and divided and even dangerous social media and even just conversations have become. Now, that doesn't surprise me because those who aren't following Jesus, those who would be considered persecutors or wolves, they're going to have strong opinions and strong reactions to anything and to everything. They're going to argue, they're going to fight, they're going to malign, they're going to attack, they're going to tear down. That doesn't surprise me. But what breaks my heart is when I read professed followers of Jesus attacking and maligning other professed followers of Jesus, publicly tearing each other down. That's division in the body of Christ. What does it say to the world when those who profess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and acknowledge him then go forward and attack other Christians, whether over social or cultural or political views or standpoints? I challenge you, church, to be different, to be a different witness for the gospel. My challenge is as you seek to acknowledge Christ in all that you do and live as his example, that you will pause before you post. I'm sure someone else has said that. It sounds pretty cool. That's what I'm saying today. I didn't get it from anyone else. Pause before you post. You may feel hurt or angry or incensed. You may want to correct what you say are not facts with truth. You may be upset. Regardless, pause before you post, whether you're taking on a wolf or whether you're addressing another sheep. Ask yourself, ask the Lord to guide you. How might you acknowledge Christ in this interchange, in your response? How might you acknowledge Christ? Or is the best answer just to be quiet and let it go? I haven't met anybody who's been able to solve this problem on the internet yet. Sometimes we just have to walk away. When the church is united, we are a force for love and redemption and change like no other. But when the church is divided, we are in trouble. So I challenge you as followers of Jesus, as you're seeking to acknowledge him in all that you do and all that you say, choose a different path in the days ahead. Pause before you react. Pause before you post and look for ways that you can truly acknowledge Jesus in all you do and say, to the glory of his great name. Amen.